The Bible's open at Jeremiah chapter 36. That's on page 560. So if you can find a Bible, find page 560. I'm going to pray for us, so I need you to look up, and while I pray, and then I've got a question or two for you. In the past, Lord God, you spoke through the prophets, but in these last days you have spoken through your Son, the Lord Jesus. We praise you that we have your voice recorded, the words you've said written down, and we have a Bible in our hands. Please help us to revere it, to recognize your authority in it and submit to it. And may this opportunity for us to hear what's being said in your word take root in our hearts. Please bring us change as a result of hearing it. Amen. What happens when you hear your mum and dad giving you an instruction? Do you say, "Yes, Dad," and you get up straight away and do it? Or do you ignore it? Well, doesn't it depend? It depends what the instruction is. Here's one I think you'd like to obey straight away. Ice cream for anyone who comes and sits down at the table. You'd do that one straight away, wouldn't you? What about this one? Can you come and lay the table for supper now? No. Now, when that happens, sometimes I think you don't listen, or you ignore it, or you think, if I wait a little bit, then my brother will do it for me. Do you think that? Joe's nodding. Toby? Yeah. Well, the thing about instructions we hear from our parents is that nobody can see what's going on inside of us. They can't tell whether we've heard or not. But when God speaks, it is very different. You see, God can see what's going on inside us. He knows really well what we've heard and understood and what he's looking for when he speaks to us. Just like our parents, when they speak to us, what they want and what God wants is obedience. So what happens when God is speaking to you? How do you respond? Well, that's an important question. Ever since Adam and Eve. Can you remember what happened in that story? God gave them a lovely place to live. He gave them lots of food to eat. He gave them a wonderful relationship with him, but he gave them one instruction. Hands up if you can remember what the instruction was. Stephen, do you know what it was? Something they shouldn't do. That's right. He said, "Don't eat the fruit from the tree." That was the tree in the middle. Well done, Stephen. He got it exactly right. You can do anything you like, but don't eat the fruit in the tree, from the tree in the middle of the garden. And what did they do? They disobeyed God. They ate it. That's exactly right. And they were punished for disobeying God. Do you remember what the punishment was? Shut out from the garden. You were going to say that, weren't you, Ben? Yeah. You see how important listening to God's word is? Well, all the way through the Bible, we get glimpses of how different people and even whole nations listen to God's word. And when they listen and obey, it's great. But sadly, when God speaks and they don't listen, it is very bad. The story we come to today is very famous because it's about a king who heard God's word being read, and he not only didn't listen to it, he did something horrible, really, really bad. It's about 600 years before Jesus that we're reading. 2,600 years ago, God's people there have a king called Jehoiakim. Can you say that? Jehoiakim. He was on the throne, and the prophet of that time was a man called Jeremiah. And Jeremiah had a scribe called Baruch. I need a scribe. Can someone be my scribe? Toby, come be my scribe. Could you write this down for me? I want you to write down, "Dad is right." He's being my scribe, see? I've said some words, and he's writing them down. And when they're written down, I'm going to ask somebody else to read them. Okay, here we go. What does that say?
That is right.
Okay, was he a good scribe?
Yes.
He did the right job. Go and sit down. Okay, so you've got a king called Jehoiakim. You've got a prophet called Jeremiah. And you've got a scribe called Baruch. They're all in the story. Now, whose words are on this piece of paper? Not Toby's. No, they're my words. But they're on this bit of paper. And when Neil reads them out, he's reading my words. Okay, it's very important. Now, the prophets were special people whom God chose for a reason. They were chosen for a job. The prophet's job was to pass on what God said. They aren't allowed to make up their own words. So Toby would have been wrong if he was my scribe to write down something else. They're not allowed to make up their own words. They're not allowed to add in other words. Scribes, prophets are messengers of God. In fact, they're just like a postman. I've got a picture of a postman. There's a postman in the snow delivering letters, and there's one knocking on the door saying, I've got some letters for you. I've got one more famous postman. Hands up who, if you know who it is. I didn't say shout out. You were right, though. That's Postman Pat. There he is. Now, a postman's job is just to deliver letters. Now, imagine if I was a postman, and here are some letters. Oh, look. There's one here for Ben Silk. But imagine if I was a postman, and I saw, oh, I like that one. I'm gonna add something to it. That says, support Cambridge United. That'd be good, wouldn't it? I'd write it on there. And what about this one? If I like, oh, there's another letter. Let's open that one. It says Tim Chapman on that one. This one's from the House of Commons. Oh, I don't like that page. No, I don't like that page. Let's leave that one out. And let's put it back. And let's put it in there. And now I'll deliver it. What would you think of that postman? Was he doing a good job? He'd be doing a bad job because the postman's job... In fact, I might as well do a good job now. This one says Ben Stoker. A postman's job is to deliver the letters he's got. That's just like a prophet. His job is to deliver God's words. Okay, let's read chapter 36, verse 1 to 4. Listen very carefully. In the fourth year of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, the word came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Take a scroll and write on it all the words I have spoken to you concerning Israel, Judah, and all the other nations, from the time I began speaking to you in the reign of Josiah till now. Perhaps when the people of Judah hear about every disaster I plan to inflict on them, each of them will turn from his wicked way, and then I'll forgive their wickedness and sin. So Jeremiah called Baruch, son of Neriah, and while Jeremiah dictated all the words the Lord had spoken to him, Baruch wrote them on the scroll. So there you have it. And if you look at verse 8, Baruch did everything Jeremiah the prophet told him to do, and that was perfect. I need you to see how it works here. It's not the same everywhere in the Bible, but when God speaks, the hearer's job is to listen carefully and to pass on the message. And then God told Jeremiah that the scroll needed to be read out to others. So God's word is revealed. That's the first thing that happens. God speaks to his prophet. Then the words are recorded. They're written down. When something's written down, you don't have to have the person who speaks there anymore. The words can be handed on. And their words can go all over the place. And then the words got read out. The scroll was taken away to be read in all to all the people at the temple. And what happened then is the word spread. The first people heard it and thought, ooh, we better get some more people to come along and hear it. So they organized a meeting and they heard all the princes and the important people came to listen to the word being read. And the word spread. Look at verse 15. They said to him, sit down and read it to us. So Baruch read it to them. And when they heard all these words, they looked at each other in fear. And they said to Baruch, we must report all these words to the king. So that's what's happening. God has spoken, people have been hearing, but have they been listening? Well, you may be thinking this was happening 2,500 years ago. What's it got to do with us now? Well, let me show you. The prophets passed on God's word to the people before Jesus came. After Jesus came, the apostles passed on God's word. They wrote it down in the Gospels and the letters. And what we have now bound up in one book is all that the prophets and the apostles wrote concerning God. And it's all God's word. This is a book that is as important as the scroll King Jehoiakim was about to have read to him. It's precious because it's God's word to us, his actual words. I don't have one, but if I said in this letter, in this envelope, was a letter from one U. Bolt, that was his name, handwritten to me, you'd be quite excited. And if inside here was another letter that said, this is from the Queen in her own handwriting, and I found in the bottom of my drawer another letter which said William Shakespeare at the bottom of it, written in his own handwriting, that'd be quite cool to have. And you'd be quite excited and you want to come and see it, wouldn't you? Well, the Bible that you have in your hands is way more important than any of those because it's God's own words. I don't know if you realized it, but you and King Jehoiakim are in just the same position. You're sitting in the same place, not physically, but I'm about to read out to you God's word, just like King Jehoiakim had read it to him. And the interesting thing will be to see, will you respond to it the same way he did? So he's sitting there, comfy in his seat. It was a cold evening, so he had a nice fire next to him. Let's have a nice fire next to me. And it's the same every Sunday in church. You hear the Bible read to you, and you're sitting comfortably. What are you going to do with it? It's the same every morning when you wake up, or in the evening when your mum and dad want to read to you the Bible. You sit comfortably and you listen. What are you going to do with what you're told? How will you treat the word of God? Well, let's read verse 21 and 22. The king sent Jehudi to get the scroll, and Jehudi brought it from the room of Elishama the secretary and read it to the king and all the officials standing next to him. It was the 9th month, and the king was sitting in the winter apartment with a fire burning in the brazier next to him. So there he is, sitting comfortably with the word of God being read to him. And this is what happened. Whenever he'd read 3 or 4 columns of the scroll, the king cut them off with a knife and tore them up and put them in the fire. He'd read a few more columns and he tore them up and he put them in the fire. He'd listen to a few more columns being read and he cut them up and he put them in the fire. You know what happened when they were in the fire? They burnt up. He was getting rid of God's word, so he thought. Well, here's a modern day version of verse 23. Right, Bible. I know I should read it. My friends say I should. People say I should read it to get to know God. I don't like doing what God says because I want to do what I say, but I should read it, so I'm going to read it. Oh, well, here goes. Romans. Let's try Romans. Romans chapter 3. It says, there is no one righteous, not even one, no one who understands, no one who seeks God. Don't like that. They've all turned away and have together become worthless. No, I don't agree with that. Don't like it. Let's try somewhere else. Matthew, let's try Matthew. Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and say all kinds of nasty things about you because of me. I don't want to be insulted. I don't like people saying nasty things about me. Don't gonna have that either. I can't be bothered. I'm not gonna read anymore. Or what about this bit? Colossians chapter 3. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, in everything. I like that bit. I think we should put that in front of my children's doors. Oh, it also says, fathers, don't exasperate your children. Don't like that bit. Throw that one away. How did you think I was treating God's word just then? Do you think it worked when Jehoiakim cut up the bits of Bible he was being read to him and threw them in the fire? Do you think he managed to get rid of God's word? Did he manage to make God's word go away? Well, of course not. Just because he chopped up one Bible, one bit of the Bible, God has made sure there are many others. It was like that in Jehoiakim's day. He thought he could get rid of the word, but look at verse 27. Verse 27. I've just ripped it out. I can't read it. Come and read verse 27 and 28. You read them for me. Nice and loud in front of there.
After the king buried the scroll, continuing the words of that Barakin had written at Jeremiah's dictation, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Take another scroll and write on it the words that were on the first scroll, which some bloke,
Jehoiakim,
king of Judah,
burned up.
Yeah.
So God said, write exactly the same scroll out again. It's no good. You can't get rid of my word. He's not stopped by people getting rid of God's word. Well, it's not just dads who treat God's words as though it doesn't matter and they can get rid of it. Listen to this, because this is what I think some children do. Romans chapter 3, verse 9. It says, oh, Dad, do we have to? Can we read Harry Potter? No. Maybe later. We're going to read the Bible now. Oh, all right then. There is no one righteous, not even one. I don't believe that. I'm fine. There's no one who understands, no one who seeks God. Well, I'll seek God when I want to. All have turned away. I'm bored. Can't wait for Dad to finish. I've got so much homework to do. They've together become worthless. Have I got any pocket money left? There's no one who does good, not even one. I've got an itchy foot. I wonder if I've got some cream. There's no fear of God before their eyes. I can't remember a thing Dad's been saying. It's so hard to concentrate when the Bible's being read. Oh well, Harry Potter soon. Now, isn't that what children sometimes do when the Bible's being read to them? They don't concentrate. They think they can get rid of God's word. Do you see that dad who chopped out bits of the Bible and that boy who couldn't concentrate and decided to think about other things? are just like Jehoiakim, the king who burnt God's word. Well, here's a question, lastly, to finish. What was on the scroll that made Jehoiakim so angry? What was it that he didn't want to hear? The answer is in verse 29 to 32. Give me that Bible again. Verse 29. Tell Jehoiakim, king of Judah, this is what the Lord says. You burned that scroll. And you said, why did you write on it that the king of Babylon would come and destroy this land and cut off both men and animals from it? That's what was on the scroll, that the king would be attacked and beaten by the king of Babylon. And the king didn't want to hear that. He didn't want to hear about God's judgment. Therefore, this is what the Lord says about Jehoiakim, king of Judah. He'll have no one to sit on the throne of David. His body will be thrown out and exposed to the heat by day and the frost by night. I'm going to punish him and his children. No wonder the king didn't want to hear that. But instead of listening and responding in the right way, he tried to stop God's word coming true by burning it. Well, God says to every one of us, he says to all you young children and all you grown-ups, there is nobody who is good in God's sight. We all deserve his judgment. Now, what should you do when you hear that? Ignore it? Tear it up? Or say sorry to God and ask him for forgiveness? That is what Jehoiakim should have done. Turned to God and asked for forgiveness. Well, it was sad that he was judged, and sure enough, only a few years later, the king of Babylon came in and destroyed Jerusalem and swept off the king into exile. So what's our lessons for today? Well, here are some. God has made sure that we have got to hear his word. He's put Bibles in all of our hands. You can listen to God's voice. Will you read it and listen? Some will ignore it. Some will avoid it. Some might even turn and shred it. God's word is powerful. Can't be stopped. You can't make it go away. There's only one end for those who will not listen to God's word, and it's not good. Instead, we should take the bits we like, and the bits we don't like, and trust that God is speaking to us, and do what he says. Treasure God's word. Read it. Listen to it. Ask a grown-up to read it and explain it to you. Remind yourself of how important it is. And don't be like Jehoiakim, the king who burnt God's word. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to leave you grown-ups just for a moment to talk to your youngsters, and then we're going to sing a final song. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for speaking so clearly in your word about how we are to live and respond to you. Please keep us from rejecting your truth and open us to hear and listen and obey what you said. We pray for our summers that we would have them filled with fun things, but at the top of the list, we would have listening to your word. And we ask it for Jesus' name's sake. Amen.